Welcome to our midweek meeting. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prayer meeting and I want to bring God's word to you first, and then as a church we're going to gather together and pray. There are many things that I've sent by email to you, and please do pray over them. Now on Sunday I began a new series entitled Behind Closed Doors. And on Sunday it was Easter Sunday and we were remembering the Lord Jesus and how he appeared to those disciples behind locked doors, and he spoke peace to their hearts. Now this evening we're going to look at another passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at the privilege of prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ encouraging his disciples, in fact directing them to take stock, to come aside from the world and to seek his face privately in prayer. So I would invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, reading verse 5 to verse 15. So shall we hear God's word? Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Brothers and sisters, let's bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God in heaven, we thank you that we are in your presence this evening, in the name of our Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can enjoy a sweet hour of prayer together. And we ask, Father, that it truly would be a sweet hour of prayer where all the cares and all the troubles of this world are laid aside from us, and where we enter into communion with you. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given to us this evening. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, direct us to be alone with you in prayer, seeking your face, knowing, Lord, that you will reward your people, Lord, if they seek you. Father in heaven, we desire that your name would be glorified in this earth, and we desire that your will would be done. And we ask, Father, that you would give us, Lord, a greater desire for you, and Lord, that we might, Lord, be those who are disciplined in prayer. Lord, not in a dutiful way, but in a way which, Lord, is from our hearts. Give us a spirit of prayer, we pray. And as we join together shortly, Lord, to seek your face corporately in prayer, we ask, Father, that you would give us, Lord, prayer, that your name would be glorified. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to concentrate upon verses 6 and 7. But before we do that, I'd like just to mention something I read this morning. I was reading the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, he and his friends were facing a terrible situation. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had made a decree. He decreed that all the wise men and all the magicians of his country needed to die. Why? Well, he'd had a dream. And he said to the wise men and the magicians that they were not only to interpret the dream, but they were to tell him what the dream was. They responded in this way, "There's no one who can do that, not on the face of the earth. Only the gods can do that." But then Daniel was approached. And when he heard about the decree and knew that it meant certain death for him and his three friends, if a solution was not found, he said to the king's official, "Give us time." And he went to his home, and there he met his three Jewish friends. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But their Jewish names were this: Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And he called them to pray to God behind those doors of his home. They sought God's face in prayer, and God wonderfully answered. God revealed the dream to Daniel and the interpretation of it. And as a result, their lives were spared and the lives of so many others. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And we're looking at the privilege of private prayer. It's interesting in this passage in verse 6, the "you" is in the singular. It's about you and God. You go into the place of prayer alone. Family prayers are so important. Church prayers, corporate prayers are vital. But God has said, first, you be alone with God, seeking him, shutting out all distractions. And your heavenly Father, who hears you in secret, will reward. Now, we live in a society which is normally known for hustle and bustle and busyness. And you and I are part of that. And sometimes our lives don't stop. We go from one activity to the next, one commitment to the next, and we're rushed off of our feet. But now we're forced to slow down. Now we're forced to stay in our homes. And so I want to say to you, is this not an ideal time to get your private world in order? If you don't get it in order now, I would suggest to you that you may never get it in order. The Lord has given this great privilege of seeking his face in prayer. Now, this is the last thing that the devil wants to happen. He wants you to continue in your busy routines. He wants you to find so many other activities to do each day, even though that you're in the confines of your own home. But I would say to you, think about your priorities. What's most important? What's your desire for God? Do you love him? Do you want him? Do you want to converse with him? Do you want to spend time in his word, listening to him? And then opening up your heart in prayer. Jesus says, shut the door, shut out all distractions, get alone with God and pray. Now, the context of this is very clear, isn't it? Those of you who know your Bibles, it's all about not being ostentatious. It's all about not being pretentious. It's all about not showing your spirituality before others. And so Jesus covers three areas. First of all, he looks at the matter of charitable deeds and he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Remember those religious hypocrites? They always want to say what they are doing. They want to impress others. They blow a trumpet before them. They want others to know about their charitable deeds. They want people to think well of them, to think that they're spiritual people. Don't be like that. When you give, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Give in secret, and your heavenly Father will reward you. So he speaks about charitable deeds. But then the Lord Jesus speaks about prayer. And he says this. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Don't be like them. Don't seek to impress people by your prayers. No, you go into your own home and seek God and his face. And then he mentions fasting. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. They distort their faces. They smear ash on their faces. They look sad. They want others to see that they are fasting. They want others to think, well, look at these holy, self-denying men and women. Jesus says, don't do that. Anoint your head. Go out with a smile on your face. Let your countenance be happy. Do it in secret. God, who sees you in the secret place, he will reward you. Jesus was deeply burned about religious hypocrisy. And so as we consider this matter of prayer this evening, let's ask ourselves a few questions. When we pray in public, does that flow out of a deep personal prayer life? Are our public prayers a real reflection of our private prayers? When we pray publicly, do we truly pray to God? Or are we thinking about others? Who's our audience? Are we concerned about the construction of our sentences and the words that we use, so much so that we forget God? Do we seek to impress others by our prayers? The Pharisees were known to stand up in the synagogues with long flowing prayers to impress others. They were known to even to be on the street corners praying. And we need to stop and ask ourselves some questions. What is my personal prayer life like? Is it fervent? Is it frequent? Is it real? If it is, that will be reflected in my public prayer life. The Lord sees. He knows the motive of one's heart. Now, to be honest, when we've been recording for Facebook and praying for Facebook, I've been very conscious that this is going public, and I'm not quite happy with that. I'm going to find a way of cutting some of these videos, or at least keeping them on the Tabor Baptist Facebook page. Really, our prayers are not there for the world, are they? They're us as a church seeking God. There's tremendous dangers, isn't there? We think that we're in a situation where we no longer can impress people, but you know, there's the social media world where it's so easy for people to put out things in order to impress. Oh, that we would never be like that, but what we would do would be for his glory, for God's glory alone. So then let's consider this. It's all about your relationship with God. Be alone with him. Jesus Christ often could not remain alone in a house, and so he went out early in the morning to a deserted place to pray. Or he spent all night on a mountain to pray. Sometimes he sent his disciples away from him so that he could pray. He being the Son of God, he being very God, if he felt the need to pray as the God-man, alone with his Father, how much more should we feel the need to seek God's face in prayer? Now, Jesus says this, when you're alone, pray to your Father. Isn't that lovely? He's saying, pray to the one who cares for you, who's a loving Father, who's adopted you into your family, the one who has, by grace, saved you. Pray to him, your Father. He's your Father and you belong to him. Now, any good relationship between child and father reflects a son or a daughter who looks up to their father, who, when they're in trouble, goes to their father, who loves to spend time with their human father, loves to play with their dad, loves to tell their dad everything, sit down at meals with their dad and chat. A good relationship between child and father is a child that's thankful for its father and seeks to honour his father. Well, if that's true in the natural realm, how much more that is true in the spiritual realm? We can bring everything to our loving heavenly Father. We can tell him everything. We can come to him. We desire to honour him and please him. We can thank him. But we can share everything that's upon our hearts. So go into the secret place. Close the door. And tell your Father everything and worship him. And Jesus later says that he will reward those who ask and seek and knock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You have every reason, and I have every reason, to seek the face of God in prayer. He's so much more willing to hear us and to respond to us and to give than we are to ask and to seek him. Oh, that we would come before his face often in private prayer. He has said that he will reward us. If we ask, he will respond, he will give. If we seek, we will find. If we knock at the door of heaven, it will be open to us. Precious promises of our Saviour. Let's take hold of them and believe them. For if you ask anything in his name, according to his will, you know and can have that certainty that he hears you. So you ask for growth in grace, he'll hear that. You ask for peace in the midst of trouble, he'll give you that. You ask for strength at times of weakness, he'll give you strength. You pray about many specific matters that are upon your heart, and he answers according to his perfect will. The eyes of the Lord are open to those who fear him. He sees you in the secret. His eyes are open to those who fear him. His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. As much as parents hear a little crying baby, those cries of the little crying baby immediately call their attention. They don't ignore it. So our Heavenly Father hears every single cry that comes from our hearts. Go into the secret place and know that he will hear you. His eyes see you and he will reward you. Now, why does he say shut the door? Well, I believe it's this for this one sole reason, that there are no interruptions. If it means also closing the curtains so that nobody can see you and you can see nothing outside, so be it. You know, the Lord Jesus says, close the door. Don't leave it half ajar. Don't leave noise coming in. Be alone with him. It's an interesting story of Spurgeon, and it was Saturday night. He guarded Saturday nights to pray and to meditate. And somebody came knocking at the door, and his maid came up to him and said, there's a very important person at the door. Please, would you see him? He said, well, sorry, this is my time for prayer. So the maid conveyed the message, and the man said, well, tell Mr. Spurgeon, a servant of God wants to see him. So she went back with a message, and Spurgeon sent the following message back. He said this, tell him I'm busy with my master and can't see the servants now. Do you see the priority that Spurgeon gave to prayer? It's a place where there ought to be no distractions. Are you or I ever half-hearted in our prayers and have half an ear to God? We listen to sermons in the midst of doing something else, but not really with an attentive ear. And we pray to God with our mind on other things. That's unworthy of our glorious, blessed God. Oh, that we would learn to love silence, to love solitude, that we would learn to wait upon God in prayer. Now, Jesus says here, It's not about vain repetition. It's not about the amount of words that you say. It's not about just verbalizing things. It's not just about saying set, repeated prayers. No, it's about communion with the living God. Look what he says, verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. There are many pagan peoples who utter all sorts of set prayers to a god, all sorts of formulas. There are others who follow certain ritualistic ways of maybe saying a Hail Mary so many times, or saying so many psalms so many times without any thought. And of course, a Hail Mary is just totally wrong. But brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying to us, don't be like that. God knows everything. He knows all your needs before you ask. Yes, share those needs, but don't let it be formal. Don't let it be just a vain repetition of words. May it be real. Now you might say, but what do we pray? I find it difficult to pray. We know it is a battle. We know it's hard. For many of us, reading the Bible is so much easier. We can read chapter after chapter, and yet seeking God in prayer is another thing. And so Jesus gives us a pattern. And he says, when you pray, and he's meaning praying alone, you can pray corporate prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, remember you're part of the body of Christ. Yes, pray individually. Pray, Lord, help me, strengthen me. But remember you're part of a body. And lift up your heart with your brothers and sisters. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Begin with God. Begin with his name. Begin with his glory. Begin by extolling him. Begin by reverencing him. Begin again by remembering that he is your Father and the Father of his people. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then pray for his kingdom to come. Pray for his reign upon earth. Pray for the salvation of sinners. Pray for the consummation of that kingdom when Christ will come again. Pray for his reign, your kingdom come. Pray also that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Begin to think about what that means. His angels do his bidding perfectly. His will in heaven is perfectly performed. Lord, may you and I, Lord, may we hear. May we be those who are doers of your word, not just hearers. May we perform your will here upon the earth. Enable us in this area, in that area. May your will be done, Lord. And so we go through the pattern that the Lord has given us to pray, asking that our daily needs would be met and the needs of our brothers and sisters, asking that we'd be kept from temptation and from the evil one, confessing our sins, praying over those debts of sins that we have and asking the Lord to forgive us and forgiving others in our heart, knowing that if we do not forgive others, he will not forgive us. And praying above all for his glory, for his kingdom. His is the power, the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. So I would encourage you to use the Lord's Prayer. Expand on it as the Lord gives you thoughts. Use it as a help to you and a guide to you in your praying. Now, I heard another story of a man who went into a telephone box. And as he went into the telephone box, he was searching to dial the number and he couldn't quite see because it was going dark. So he felt that he'd leave the door slightly open in order to get some sort of light from outside, but he still couldn't see. And then the telephone box door closed. Before that, he'd seen a light in the ceiling, but he couldn't understand why it wasn't on. And when the door of the telephone box closed, suddenly the light came on. Brothers and sisters, may it be that as the door of our rooms closes in the quietness of our hearts, that the light will come on, that we'll know the presence of Christ as we seek him in prayer. Now, of course, everybody's circumstances are different. Some are living very small homes and it's only the toilet that they find is that quiet place. It doesn't matter where that place is. Obviously now we're in lockdown, It's not so easy to do that walking out, but you may use your daily walk as that time of prayer. But seek God's face often. Do you remember Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. How is it that you go from strength to strength in your Christian life? How is it you go on vibrantly as a Christian? Well, part of the secret is this. You don't faint as you continually seek God's face in prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Spurgeon also said this. Prayer pulls the rope of the great bells above. Some scarcely stir the bell, so languid are their pulls. Others simply give occasional pulls. But he who wins with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. Are you holding on to the rope tightly? Are you pulling it continuously? Go into your room. Seek the face of God, and he will reward you openly. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avail much. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to now sing together, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. And then I invite you to join together in prayer, whether you pray alone, going through some of those matters that has been sent out, or whether you join the Zoom meeting. Should we seek the face of God in prayer? Amen.